There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention. Government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Greetings and salutations. I don't know where my audio is going to be right here because Lou just changed it before we went on the air. It is Wednesday, the 9th of June, 2010. We're coming to you live again, as always, from the church at Kaweah. We're located in the Central California area where they do allow rednecks to live. It's not like Southern California where they round us up and walk us to the border. Now, they don't do that to anybody. They're especially not going to do it to rednecks. They won't do it to the illegal aliens. But we're in Central California. I'm looking right now at Sequoia National Park. The snow has gone from the peaks that I can see in the northern angle from our studio. But if I was to look to the south, on the north-facing ridges to our south, there still is snow. It's been in the 90s and 100 degrees here, and there's still snow up at 14,000 feet. We're not in South America. How's the meter doing over there? It's looking good then. Good, good, good. I'm going to bring yours up now so we can test it. And Lou's over there. Say something, Lou.
Something.
Say hello.
Hello.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. And we are a call-in show. We have tested the phone. We did phone pranks for the last hour. So we know the phone works. And the number to call in is 559-561-8225. Boy, I can't believe I suddenly started to forget it. I tore down all the signs because I remembered it. 561-8225. The area code is 559. Area code 559-561-8225. And we've got it working so you can call in. We spent the day doing some weird stuff, not weird actually, but important stuff, unusual stuff. I should say unusual, not weird. Weird connotates, you know, sticky, gooey, you know, something you don't want to do. It was something that we wanted to do. If you go to our homepage, dutchjones.tk, dutchjones.tk, you'll see a couple banners. I think we actually have two banners on there for DFT. Yeah, Defensive Firearm Tactics Academy, which is north of us in Coarse Gold. We've used them for training here, and they also offer a site assessment that they'll come out to your location and church, business, whatever. They do this professionally. They're VIP, counter sniper, the whole deal. And the head instructor, the owner, is Rudy, and I can never pronounce his last name, but it sounds like Wallbanger or something. But he's an Austrian combat veteran from Africa. And Bosnia, Serbia, those areas. So he knows what he's doing. He was a bodyguard for Mrs. Reagan when she went overseas. He's been with GSG-9, the whole deal. And this guy is probably in his 60s, I would say. But he's still very, very tough. Anyway, he came out, and if you're looking for training, by the way, that's the point of what I was saying. Go there, and you'd be surprised the training he will offer to you. Well, he came out for our site assessment. The first thing we asked him was, what do you think of the time we're in, and are we just being nuts for this? He goes, actually, this is one of the mildest groups that I consult to. And he won't tell us who the other groups are because of confidentiality for obvious reasons. But he says, people around this country are getting ready for war. Not necessarily against the military or against UN troops. He says, we kind of have a different slant here. But he says, against... a collapse of society and zombies coming up from the cities. Are you guys hearing me? I see Olima's in there, Min Patriot. We have one guest. I want to make sure that I sound okay. Give us a...
Dutch Jones fellow.
Yeah, there's a Dutch Jones guy in there. Give us a sound report. I want to make sure it sounds good. We really worked hard today on the audio, trying to make it better for you guys. So just give me a, hey, sounds good, or you guys are terrible kind of thing, whatever we need to know. There's a tinny high-pitched noise in the background. It's not... Oh, you know what it is? They're whacking weeds outside the window. You guys got good ears. About 100 yards away, the pastor is in the cemetery whacking weeds. That's not the pastor. Who is that? That's Frank?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, he put that thing on quick and went to work. Our studio audience usually sits in here, was looking out the window and saw some weeds, and he grabbed the weed eater and ran down there. Rapid weed eater deployment. Good. I'm glad it sounds good. I don't want to shut the window. We'll bake in here. We don't have air conditioning. But anyway, we had Rudy come by. Go to their website while you're listening to me. Just don't, you know, don't close the window, but go check out their stuff. They're pretty amazing folks. And did a on-site assessment for our 24-acre. I've been telling everybody it's about 20 acres. It's really 24 acres. And he gave us a lot of key things that we needed to do. We knew some of them, but he gave us a lot of ideas that we didn't. And we're not, you know, of course, I'm not going to reveal what those are. But he told us in our little meeting that groups around the country are just loaded for bear. And he says, I can't train you to fight the Army, the Marines, or the Navy, or the Air Force, he goes, because they will just simply destroy you as small as you are. And where you're located, they would just use indirect fire or ground-guided air-to-surface missiles where somebody's on the ground calling in the sights. He goes, what I can do is tell you how to defend yourself against refugees, vagabonds that come through, and, of course, bad guys, roving bands of gangs and stuff. So with that mindset, we went to it. And he said he's getting a lot of calls from churches. And, in fact, he won't give out the names of the churches, but there are several churches in the valley here that are sending key people to learn knife disarmament and knife defense, meaning using a knife to take somebody out or getting a knife away from somebody or how to use a knife to approach a dedicated shooter in a crowded church auditorium or chapel and take it away from them. Yeah, well, we've already had that kind of training, so... You know, but that's the kind of stuff he's doing. And for people were like going, I can't believe your church is doing that. Now he's telling us that there's at least a half a dozen churches within 100 miles of where I'm sitting that are doing that. And they're what they're doing is giving one guy the training to shoot, and then they'll have four or five guys in the auditorium, probably the ushers or the elders, to learn how to do, disarmament, takedowns, those kind of things. I'd rather have a gun. But, shooting in front of a bunch of people, you know, the problem is if your congregation isn't trained properly and they all jump up and start screaming, I think the problem in our congregation would be everybody would want to shoot the guy. And all the women with their pistols, all the men with their pistols. So what we've done is we've said if you're not one of the security detachment, your goal is to protect just your family. You know, if the guy's right next to you, take him out. But the best thing to do is everybody get on the ground and he's the only guy standing and then, you know, vector three people, take him out. You know, and that kind of stuff. But it's not... I was surprised to hear that other people are thinking along these lines. They may not be like-minded, but security-wise, people are thinking about this. He says private families are saying, how do we get out of Dodge? And he's helping them do their get out of Dodge, plan their pre-routes. And I'm like thinking, well, if you just listen to Liberty Tree Radio and the intelligence report and my show, you know, you would be getting that. And read Patriots. Thank you, Min Patriot. We spent a lot of time on the audio today. We're also using a separate computer. We've got a third computer instead of using two. It ties up everything. But we're actually on Wi-Fi right now. We're not even hardwired, and it still sounds better. I can hear the back feed in my headphones, and it sounds really good. We turned down the gains on a lot of our inputs. It was just a matter of tweaking it and bringing it out. So thanks, Minnesota Patriot, for putting that in there. The other thing that we said after we showed him our church building and a lot of things we already knew because we had another person come in and do the same thing, and he reinforced it plus expanded upon it, especially the thing about just having knives, having our security folks carry just blades so you can specifically target one individual. You don't have to worry about a knife going through somebody and stabbing four people behind them.
Unless you got a really, really,
a really, really big knife, yeah. You've got like a big Bowie knife. You might, if it's a skinny guy, if it's one of these anarchists or something, you know, vegetarian, vegan, whiny people, then that, yeah. So then we went out on the property and we figured out where we would locate people. And at first, I'm going to tell you what he told us and the things that we didn't think of that he put on it, that he put on our hearts to actually work for. We've decided that we can handle about 150 people on our facility. I'm not going to call it a compound because then the ATF will come and burn us down and kill our children. On our facility, we can handle about 150 people that are related to the church. Vegans, throw animal entrails at them. Now, we may have some vegetarians that listen to the show. I don't mean to offend them, but if you're a vegetarian and you're coming to get us, that's what I mean. But if you're with us and you're vegetarian, hey, that's fine. Stacy's turned into a vegetarian. She's been eating nothing but salads and stuff. She's found out that when she eats, because we eat a lot of meat, she just doesn't feel good. And then she's working, you know, 8 hours a day on her feet. She's realizing that when she snacks light and eats a lot of salads, you know, with tuna or chicken ground up in it, she likes that better. So I don't mean to knock that. But
after the fast.
Yeah, and then...
It took her like 20 minutes to make, and I was waiting.
But to make what?
The salad.
Yeah. Well, she puts a lot of effort into a salad. It's got a lot of stuff in it. It's not just green lettuce and a bunch of dressing. She puts everything, carrots, everything in it. So it's a good salad. I mean, I think tonight I'll have her make me a salad. I'll try and adopt that. I could stand and not eat beef for a while. So he came out and he designated an area where we could put the refugees. He told us that if you were to go and buy concertina wire right now, it would be out because all of these other groups are already buying it. Now, we've got miles and miles of barbed wire that we can use, but we didn't think about concertina wire in a three-row bundle. So they people around the country are buying it, he told us. So we designate that. This is something key. He said your elderly and your children must be guarded the greatest. He says because they will steal your kids and use them as ransom to get your supplies. And we kind of figured that. But he says put them in the best protected location. Sandbag it. That was the one thing. Buy as many sandbags as you can. We're going to start buying thousands of sandbags, which I had already recommended, but everybody didn't listen. But when you bring in an expert who's got far more laurels than I have, then he's got a certificate. No, he's got a lot of certificates. But it's a good idea. So I'm glad that he agreed with me on the sandbags. And you just sandbag it. So and train your kids and have strict rules that they never leave the compound. See, I said it. They never leave the ranch. ATF's going to come after us now because I called it a compound. And they know that when a certain code word goes over the PA, an alarm sounds, a klaxon, whatever you use, they head for their bunker. And then the elderly go in there too, and the elderly's job is to protect them under arms. So you train your elderly to fight in defense of the children. That way you get them both doing something. The other thing he said that we need to do is you need to have daily tasks. Yeah, concrete cloth over your sandbag, someone's saying. We also, we've been looking online for the past year at stuff that you can put over them, spray on them, gunite, all kinds of stuff.
Does he have a certificate?
Do I have a certificate for what?
For the concrete stuff?
No.
If you don't, then I'm not going to believe you about it.
Yeah. Check out the video that Min Patriot just put up there. Tell me what it is. He just posted a video on there. Tell me, and then save it. I can't look at it now when I'm on the online, but save that link so I can look at it after the show or during a break. He said, if you don't have tasks for every single person, which I understand. I thought about putting together duty rosters. We're putting together a compact, we're going to call it, or something like a contract. And we're going to come up with duties for everybody. He says, everybody, even the smallest child that can move, that can carry something, has to have a task, even if it's make work. So here's one of the things we're going to do. We've been collecting scrap metal and just piling it. Because we don't know what people want to get rid of it. They actually pay us to haul it away. We stick it on one end of the property. Like any good ranch, you'll see a big chunk of a pile of steel, a pile of wood, you know, where they keep everything. We don't like to throw anything away because we don't know what it's going to be used for. It's actually, well, there's one over there, and then there's one over there. We actually have two. That one down there is for like sheet metals, roofing materials, that, you know, like the corrugated steel, metal cabinets, any of the thin stuff, the real heavy stuff, iron, like farm implements that we collect, I-beams, stuff like that. That's right next to the shooting range, Lou, on the other side.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah, so what we got to do is you put them to work sorting those types of things. Of course, our garden. We'll have to expand our garden. We've got about people have told me it's a half acre, so I'm just going to say that. I don't even know what an acre is. But expand it. We can expand it to about 10 acres because we've got 10 acres of bottom land. In fact, it's got more water than we need sometimes because the creek leaks into it. And we'll have more gardening, so people will be assigned those duties. I know this is probably not what you expected. You thought it was going to be all about sentries and roving guards and all that. He's talking totally about a post-collapse community, which we already had a lot of ideas, but this guy is fine-tuning it. And guess where he's getting his ideas from? Everything he said, he goes, and I can't do his accent for, well, when I was in Bosnia, this is the way they went, yeah. He goes, you'd see it. Now it's more like Swedish. Anyway, he's got this heavy Austrian accent. Our other instructor's Polish. It's kind of where we can...
It
has a funny voice. Well, I shouldn't say funny. It has an accent. Don't tell him I said funny. He'll probably stab me.
You got to get an accent now, so you can...
Well, yeah, people say I have an accent, but I don't know what it is. A Colorado accent?
Boston.
Colorado. I don't have a Boston. I was born in Boston, but I lost it at about 5 years old because we moved. But he focused on just the livability of the site, and he said you're in a good location. You got water. You got trees. Duty rosters, codes. He says you got to come up with code books for everything. You've got to come up with security checkpoints along the road. All the stuff that I've been sharing with you guys, he reinforced that. But some of the things that he came up with were just amazing to me. I mean, the stuff about the elderly, the stuff about the kids, I didn't think about. Because I think kids, I think Lewis, who's almost 15, I think, well, he's going to be doing guard duty or something. He said you're going to have two people in charge. You'll have he goes, and you follow a military code. You have like the commander, the head guy, and then you're going to have, well, actually three people. Then you're going to have an executive officer, and then you're going to have the head of security. And the head of security answers only to the other two, not to anyone else. And that person's duty is to come up with all the rosters for security, all of the postings, all of the training of specific security people. Then under the XO, you would have all the daily operations, the executive officer, daily operations, other duty rosters not related to security. And I didn't see that division of labor in my mind when we were doing this. So this kind of helped a little bit. And, you'll have like, I'll be the communications training officer. So picture this, the balloon goes up, all those folks that have loved the church over the past few years that have been tithing here through the mail and getting our sermons and through the mail and all that stuff, they start heading this way and they start coming in. Well, we start making an assessment. We know who they are because we have mailing lists, and we have the pastor's been here his whole life, since the 60s, when he was a kid. So he knows these people. They've been coming to the conferences. They've come and shared with us on our training days. As they come in, we start assessing their abilities, their needs, their desires to serve the Lord here. And then I start coming up ways to train the kids to do some of the duties. I come up with training martially for people that can potentially join either the immediate security force or the backup security force. It's amazing stuff that goes into thinking about this. And it was real invigorating. The last few days I've been kind of bummed. I've been ill. There have been some interpersonal problems going on here at the ranch, and I didn't come out good on one end of them. It's just one of those daily things. It's just like cubicle work. You have people that you get along with and people you don't. But it rejuvenated me so that when we're having this, our little show and tell coming up in a couple Saturdays, it's going to be awesome because I'm going to apply the stuff that he has given us. I'm going to apply some of the mindset that he has and try and meld it in with ours on some things. One of the key things that he talked about today, he says, all your people that are out of the area that you know are coming, he goes, you have to train them in evasion and not to fight their way here, but to sneak their way here. And he went into, he goes, their kit should be a little backpack with just enough calories, if it takes 3 days, whatever, to get here. A pistol, 50 rounds of ammunition, and one extra magazine. He goes, that's it. You don't fight. You flight. You do everything you can to avoid contact coming here for two reasons. If they get captured and they're tortured and they tell people, hey, where were you going? They're going to give up the location. And two, if they fight, they're going to die. And it's just that simple. And we need them here. I've said that before. We don't have enough manpower base to secure the whole facility. At least that's what I thought until today. He showed us some key observation positions that we look at every day that we go, yeah, well, that's a great place. We've all said it. Rocky Hill, who's not in the room, he comes up and he says, hey, there should be an OP up there. Yeah, fine. Let's do it. Well, now he wants us to build permanent OP LPs up on one point, and when you're up there, you can see everything.
Rocky doesn't have a certificate.
Yeah, but Rocky doesn't have a certificate to build a bunker. Yeah.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what he built. Let me get a drink of water here. Where is Rocky Hill? Why isn't he in here? He's been working now, so he doesn't have time for us off-work people.
Us no-workers.
Yeah, us no-workers, us people who don't have 9-to-5 jobs. I should have weed-eated it or done something outside today. I just didn't feel like it. Too weak. I'll get my strength back tomorrow. I'll do it. But it was an interesting day, and this guy is available to you, Rudy Waldinger, I think is his name, Wallbanger. I can't understand how to pronounce it, but it's like Harvey Wallbanger is a drink or something, but that's not that. Yeah, it's Rudy Nerd.
Why don't you just call him Rudy W?
Yeah, Rudy W. And he's a little hard to understand, but he's available to come to your location to teach anything you can imagine that deals with the martial aspect and the survival aspect. It's amazing. It's amazing. But I just wanted to share that with you before I forgot. I was just, because we just, it stopped about 2 hours ago. It ended about 2 hours ago doing the walkthrough and just showing where we should put traffic control points. He came up with this really good idea. We said, well, we want to be able to stop traffic, but not be a burden to move it. You know, we don't have a bunch of stuff. We do have a tractor and stuff, but fuel to move a K-rail. You take metal fence posts, the type that use the, you can put barbed wire on it. You know what I'm talking about? They have a spade at the bottom. They come in different lengths, 4-6 feet high, and you pound them into the ground. He said you take several of those and weld them together so they look like a giant anti-tank, or not a giant, but a smaller anti-tank device. You sharpen the ends of them and you put them on the road, and you hook them together by welding chain to them or something. You can pull them out of the way, but if a car hits them, picture like a jack that's got sharp points on it. It'll rotate up and puncture stuff under the car. He said it'll go right through the floorboard of a car. It'll puncture the fuel tank. It will stop them. But kids can move it. It's not going to hurt anybody if you leave it in place. It's not like, you know, something nasty. And so we're going to be doing that. We've got lots of those around because, you know, when this was a working ranch, there were all kinds of little fenced off areas. So we've got tons of those posts in our steel pile or iron pile. So we can start doing that. And I think it'll take three of them per one. That's another thing that we would never have thrown those away. Other people may have thrown them away. Oh, I don't need these. They're rusty. They're nasty. But those of us that are in the Patriot movement have to be very, very much recyclers. You know, who's really green? Yeah. Who's more green than a militia guy in camouflage saving aluminum cans so he can make thermite grenades out of them later? A gringo, yeah. But that's pretty much where we're at there. I did want to share a verse with you guys today. I like to always keep it grounded. And did Lewis just go, oh, man? Like he doesn't want to hear the verse? Is that what
no,
you just did?
I itched my nose.
Oh, you itched your nose. I thought you were going, oh, man. Okay, we're in Nehemiah 4, and it's verse 14, Nehemiah 4, verse 14. We put this at the end of a lot of our videos to encourage people, and it also shows that we're not cocky. Our courage comes from the Lord. We're not boastful. Everything we do is a promise from the Lord. That's what we're acting on. Minnesota Patriot in the lag time here says, pop cans, lightweight alcohol stoves. I do that all the time. You know, I just take out my Swiss Army knife, punch some holes in it, use it to heat up something, you know, take three of them, put them together. You can do all kinds of stuff. Alcohol stoves out of aluminum cans, good point. Also, aluminum is very sharp. You twist that off and you start slashing at people. Aluminum can be very lethal. It's not a shank, it's a slasher. A shank's a stabber. Yeah, see? Okay, here we go. Let's get back on topic. Chapter 4, Nehemiah 5, chapter 4, verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. Now, of course, this is when Nehemiah is replacing the wall around the city. And while half the people labored, the other half trained with spears and swords and everything they could. So it's a lesson, I think, that fits the time we're in. We should be building walls. We should be working martially. We should still be spreading the gospel. And we should stand up and say to the nobles and the kings and the priests of the land that we're not afraid because God's on our side. God is a wonderful and terrible God. He will punish the evildoers, and he will reward those that serve him. But while we're, you know, we've got people that get so spiritual, they just want to keep praying to God and thanking him, tell him how great he is. It reminds me of that scene in the Holy Grail. He's like, oh, get up. Every time I speak to you, it's always, forgive me for this. I'm not worthy. So hand in hand with that, we've also got to be out building the wall. And in Nehemiah, there's one story where a man had no daughters. I had no sons. He only had daughters. Well, the daughters are out there building the wall. And every man that was on the wall kept a sword with him. A sword with him. And even a trowel. A trowel is a pretty mean weapon. And they watched the horizon. They watched the horizon. There's another verse that escapes me, but it says, you know, No man is worthy who puts his hand to the plow, who keeps looking over his shoulder, who keeps looking back. We need men who are just going to go forward with the cause, the holy cause of liberty. We need women who are going to support their men and do everything they can to be Christian warriors and not hinder them. Make it easy for them to go to training. I, on the other hand, believe that the women should be trained equally. They may not serve on a 24-hour-a-day role as security or something. But what happens when the wire's breached? What happens when we're attacked? The women need to pull their weight too, martially. So that's why I love that whole book there, because you know it shows that 100% of the population is responsible for two things: worshiping the Lord and securing the city. Period. At that time, you know, after the city was destroyed and they had to go back and rebuild it, everybody's job is security. Everybody's job is intelligence. Everybody's job is maintaining the forward momentum of the community that they're in. And we don't need to fear anyone. We don't need to fear the UN. We don't need to fear the ATF. We don't need to fear China, Russia. We don't need to fear mongrels coming up here and trying to take away what we've done. You know, they're like the grasshopper versus the ant. They want to swoop in and take everything. Well, the ant is diligent and not slothful. So that's how I feel today. I really feel rejuvenated. The Lord sent this guy at the perfect time. I forgot about it until, I think this morning at about 8 o'clock, I was talking to the pastor on the phone. He says, "Oh, yeah, you remember we still have that meeting?" I was like, "Okay." I forgot. Also, on good news, and he's not in here yet, we had a friend of the show who bought... Now, you guys know that on the second hour, we also go to Liberty Tree Radio, which also goes out over the Micro Effect. The Micro Effect was having a fundraiser where they were giving away paperweights that looked remarkably like AR-15 lowers. They were paperweights that just happened to look like AR-15 lowers. And how much were the tickets, Lou? $6? Boy, I got hiccups.
$5 for one, $14 for three.
So our pastor yesterday bought some. Well, one of our members in the audience, and I'm not going to say who, did I already say who he was? Okay, because I'll let him decide. But a listener of this show was one of the winners of that AR-15 paperweight. So I love that. I love that thought that somebody from this show. I know they also listen to Liberty Tree Radio. I'm not diminishing their audience, but it's somebody that's been a longtime friend of the church, longtime friend of the show, and in fact was probably instrumental in me pursuing getting on Liberty Tree Radio. So it was good. Olima puts in there, each of us is part of that greater whole of our neighborhood and community. We're all parts of the body of Christ. That's right, sister. Not collectivism, not my cup of tea. It's not collectivism if you're all working together. Min Patriot says he doesn't like collectivism. That debate always comes up. Like, we're the Puritans, communists, you know, in Plymouth. Not really, because they were also accountable for their own homes, their own food procurement, that kind of thing. Collectivism is not what we're talking about. We're talking about everybody pulling their own weight in the same direction. In collectivism, there can be people that are sitting on their butts all day that don't do anything that still get fed. That's not cool. That breeds discontent, hate, and the whole unit will come down. We're living on the remnants of that very same thing. There was it was Marxist that settled this place in the 1870s in Kuya, and they tried to do their own thing, and everybody got an equal share of the pie, but like a third of the people were the ones working, and it failed more than once, and finally it fell big time. They actually sent in the 10th Cavalry, a bunch of black cavalry soldiers, and chased them off the land. But you're right, it is by choice. If you choose to live in the community, you have to work to secure the community. The duty falls onto all of us. So Min Patriot says, by choice, if I work towards the common goal, then I'm okay. You can always leave. I mean, that's fine, you know, but you got to obey the rules when you're here. And if you want to tend your garden plot, you've got to tend your garden plot. There will be some mass garden plots. Like if we grow wheat, not everybody's going to grow their own little plot of wheat. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. It's better that we pool our labor. But if you've got your melon plants and your corn and all that growing, fine.
That's mine.
Yeah, everybody will say, that's my wheat. That's not your wheat. We've actually stored enough winter wheat to last us for a long time. But, I hear the music. It's time to take a break. We'll be back after this. Enjoy the music and listen to the commercial.
The forces of the crown. To take the orange, white, and green bar. sir, and Leland, sir, on the right. In Connaught and in Ulster marched the men of brown and black. They shot down wives and children in their own heroic way. And the blackened hands like lightning ran from the rifles of the IRA.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
A new attention. World order. Attention.
A new world order.
Attention. Government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Son, you're teasing the gorilla in the monkey house.
There's no teasing going on. Lou, your mic's up, just so you know. We're back. I'm Dutch Jones. It is Wednesday, the 9th of June, 2010. It's approximately 5:34 p.m. Pacific time. And we're coming to you live from the Church of Cahuilla, nestled in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, just outside Sequoia National Park, the main gate. If you want to know where we're at, you want to come by and visit. It's great when people visit. If you're coming to visit me specifically, not the church, just call, because you never know when I'm going to be here. Lately, I've been being pulled down off the mountain and have to go into enemy territory to procure things. Most importantly, my daughter, my 9-year-old daughter, who's being held prisoner by my ex-wife. So a couple days I may be gone, 1 or 2 days, driving all the way to the Bay Area to procure my child. So you got to call before you come up. A couple people come up looking for me, and I'm not here, and that makes me sad because I'd like to meet you, and I know a lot of people are making a long journey to get here. You're welcome to come to church anytime you like. We have services Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., and I want to tell you tonight I'm running right out the door because we've got to videotape another great installment of America's Providential History. This is a series that we're going through on how the Lord, how Jesus Christ had his hand in creating the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And so I don't want to miss any of that because I have to videotape it, so I'm going to run out of here. I always walk in when they're praying, and I feel real bad because we'll have like 10 minutes of praying before we do the lesson. The other time that we have services is every Sunday at 10 a.m., 10 a.m. on Sundays. And if you show up for that, stick around later for the pitch-in dinner. If you're our guest, you don't have to bring a casserole or can of tuna fish or anything. Just show up, and we'll fellowship with you. Now, on the third weekends of the month, we're having training. Now, until we get to know you, you're only allowed to come to the Sunday training. The Saturday trainings are a little more focused, a little more direct, and they're like an overnighty. So you got to come up and bring your tent, your bedroll, back of your vehicle, whatever you want, and focus on specific training. Now, this third Sunday of this month, Saturday, the day before Father's Day, this Saturday we're going to be doing a show and tell, just bringing your gear, showing it what you have, what other people have, to give you an idea what goes into both kits, your bug out bag and whatever tactical setup you have, your three-day patrol pack or gear, fanny pack, whatever you got. And that way we can share, show and tell, those types of things. Another thing we may get into, bring your communications gear, bring all your FRS radios and your 2-meter radios to this event, those that are listening and to the replay. We get a lot of people from church that listen to the replay. They can't listen because they're just getting off work here in Southern California, or in Central California, so they listen to the replay. Bring your FRS radios, and we're going to go over, we're going to assign everybody IDs, and we're going to work on our code book. We have to come up with a rotating code system so that we can use verbal. As we learn in the book Patriots and what I've seen, once you key that up, everybody's listening. So we have to instigate some type of code system, spoken and image-wise, different things that we can do, and we're going to work on that. I was away in the bathroom once. Rocky Hill, yeah, that's funny. So that's what's going on the third Sunday of every month. If you show up, you'll get a little bit of training with us. And then as we get to know you, you fellowship. I know this is bad for people that live far away. I get so many emails, I wish I lived there. Well, there are choices that people make in their lives that relate to how they serve the Lord, and it puts you in different places around the country. You know, you may have family ties, you may be tied to your job, but some of us, it was made easy. The Lord pretty much stripped me of everything, including my job, my friends, my family, and I had no choice but to come where I'm at now. I had, you know, it just his plan was perfect, mine wasn't, and sometimes I still wish I was in Southern California. I think about how easy it would be to do this show living in a city, but I know that the Lord knows what's best for me, and that's why I'm here. So sometimes you have to make that sacrifice, and there are some jobs here, even though we have 19% unemployment, which is what they're telling us it is, which I think it's actually higher. If you work off the grid, if you, you know, can phone your job in, it's not a bad place to live. Houses, not where I live right here, houses are very expensive here because we're in the mountains and you still have the hippies and the LA types that have the houses. There's a 2-story house here that's just a piece of garbage they want $750,000 for. But it's got a lot of land that goes all the way to the river, from the road to the river. But $750,000 for a house that you're probably going to have to bulldoze, not worth it. And there's like a trailer on it that's been... Remember the trailer we saw when we went down the road? That's part of that house, Lou. Remember when we drove down that little 2-track road to see the river where we were working the other day? No, you don't remember. Yeah, there was a mobile home back there. But you can get into some of the cities down here in Visalia, Sanger. Being just 50 miles away is a lot better than being in L.A. or San Francisco, isn't it? We have supporters that live all over the area. They're a gas tanker less away, and they're trying to get closer. There is land up for sale up here. If you're of that type, you could build your own homestead. But that's what the purpose of this show is. First is to just put the gospel out there with the militant Christian worldview. And two is we're looking for soldiers. We're looking for Christian brothers and sisters, families that want to come here. Now, I put the outreach to Liberty Tree Radio, letting them know that we have a dwelling open. It's available. And if they have anybody, but, I mean, they're doing the same thing there. They're collecting people up there. So it might be counter to their cause. But if they know somebody that, say, you know, in our area that we haven't been able to reach yet, they could send our way. That's what we have to do. And we today, when Rudy was up here doing the site assessment for defending this position and operating where we are here on our ranch here for the church at Kuya, Rudy said, don't stop reaching out. He says, there's a big problem right now with paranoia. And I've pointed that out to you guys before. He says, you've got to stick together. You've got to build relationships. You know, so many, each of these groups that he's going to and training, they all are like, well, we don't want to... Oh, no video today because we're using a computer that doesn't have a video feed on it, Chuck. We'll set that up later. There's just we're trying. If we put too many programs running, it knocks us off the air. We're thinking that if we just send the audio, we won't have the dropouts. And I don't believe in jinxes, but we've been doing pretty good here for 41 minutes. So we're just sending the audio out to see what happens. And we also experimented today with Ustream. Ustream is the one that Liberty Tree Radio was using. And it's pretty good. I don't understand how to use it. We downloaded some of the interfaces and stuff with it. We ran it for about an hour. No, more than an hour. About an hour and 40 minutes. And it never crashed. So, you know, if we could, but we can't figure out how to accommodate our listeners because that's the important thing. There's no chat room with that. So I don't know. I don't know if I like it or not. Maybe if we had better bandwidth, we could do both. yeah, we thought about hooking up the... webcam too, but we want to experiment with just the audio feed. In fact, you've got it so that the video feed's off, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so because of the limited bandwidth. We're actually on Wi-Fi right now. Are we still on Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
Yeah, to it, because we went through the router hardwire with Cat 5 wire, and it seems like as soon as we started doing that, it was getting bad, but we're still... on the same 150-foot lead that goes back to the satellite dish. So I know that lead's good because I'm looking right at the router that Lou knocked off the other day for those of you that are consistent listeners. It's okay. He didn't break it too bad. So it's an interesting situation here technology-wise. We just keep trying. You have no idea how many hours a day I spend researching stuff, looking at things, and then also trying to figure out ways to better the product. So, and I listen to the show the next day, and if it sounds like this, I get all upset with myself. I'm like, why didn't anybody tell me? You know, I should have known. I sound terrible. So today I got the mic turned down way low. I'm talking in my nice indoor voice. My NPR voice. Today, on All Things Considered, we consider the New World Order and how it is like a banana. Sure, you can't peel the New World Order, but you can smash it under your foot like a banana. Yeah, and it is shaped like a banana, I believe. No, I start sounding like Nicholas then, huh? Speaking of that, we are on Facebook. Those of you that are listening to this either live or on replay, you can go to Facebook, type in Dutch Jones. I've got like over 300 people now. So I'm surprised, and a lot of them are European listeners, and a lot of them are from the former Yugoslavia, and they are still fighting over there. They are Catholics, Croats, which I'm not really sure what a Croat is, Serbs, Bosnians, and then everybody else. And they're all fighting each other, and I still haven't quite figured out how that plays out, because I know the Croats worked with the Nazis during World War II, so there's some grudges going back there. The Serbs are Christian. The Bosnians, I think, are Muslim, if I got that right. And they're still fighting each other. And I talked to mostly, oh, I don't know, I'd say 15 to 30-year-old people over there that are fighting in the resistance. And it's amazing to me that they're still, you know, and we're not talking full-on lines of demarcation with war and stuff, but there's like this fighting going on that doesn't get it put in the media. They're having huge, huge riots and things, and there's a lot of them are racially oriented, or I should say culturally, because I think the Muslims that came in during the conquest there that settled are different, but those people are all of the same type. They're just, you know, they're culturally different, let's put it that way. And they're fighting each other. What's wrong with that? Short circuit something. No, I don't know what that was. But it's interesting to see that that's still going on, and then they see what we're doing here, and they listen to the show. They go, we didn't think America did anything like that. We thought everybody over there was just happy and making millions of dollars. They have no concept of what tyranny we're under. Now, granted, we're under a much less tyranny than, say, Central, South America, Europe, you know, those types of things. But we are still under tyranny. Like today, Rudy, our trainer who came in to do the assessment, said, he says, we're seeing a huge increase in the amount of people wanting, just regular Janes and Joes wanting to be trained. You know, women especially, seeing a lot of women that want to be trained. I said, well, not since the war of northern aggression, or excuse me, the war of federal aggression, have we been in such a situation like this. You know, it's been gradual, I know, the turning up of the heat. Chuck sent you a question, he wants to know if you know Likey. You're just being contrary to what he does. If you do something, he just likes to do the opposite. That's the way he is. But now we're in a time when we're needing to start thinking about ethnic violence. And I know that's a dirty word to bring up. People don't want to talk about it all the time. We know what happened with, Lou's covering his ears, what happened with Nicholas and what they still continue to say happened over there. They're lying over at First Amendment Radio. They're saying they kicked me off. I think that's funny. But, I forgot my line of thinking there. I was thinking about Nicholas telling lies about me and it made me kind of mad. I need to let that go. It's out there. It's gone. Whew, out of my system. But there's going to be ethnic cleansing. Maybe not on the level that there was in Bosnia. We're not going to have, you know, I pray we're not going to have mass graves and government-endorsed rape and all that kind of stuff. But we will have the inner-city minorities believing the hype and believing the lies that if they just go out and kill whitey middle class, everything's going to be okay. And unfortunately, they don't have any leaders right now in the black or Hispanic communities that are telling them the truth. Like there are, for some reason, the white community seems to get it, especially in the mainstream white community. I have a lot of racists that listen to the show. I have a lot of supremacists. I have a lot of skinheads, Nazi, Klan. We know that. We know you guys are listening. But most of us in America are not thinking that way. Most of us understand that the enemy is not all those folks in Compton as long as they don't conduct themselves in a savage way. The enemy's, you know, in the high ivory towers that we have to take down. So, but unfortunately, I think some of those people, because they're in the public cesspool system, there's all kinds of things that have been polluted in their minds. Let's see, I hear you, but I post stuff on there trying to open. Oh, talking about Facebook. I like Facebook. I have a MySpace account. I don't use it very much, just for a player there. But that's what I do. Yeah. Chuck 2 is saying that First Amendment Radio, you need to have a daily password to use it or something. I don't even know. Let's see. Mexicans will be trying to kill all the whites. Yeah. See, they've been programmed to think that we're the enemy. Everything's blame whitey, blame whitey, blame whitey. Now, we've done some terrible things. If I was a Native American, I might hold a grudge. You know, but I'm not gonna spend the rest of my life hating someone because of what my ancestors may or may not have done. I don't know if any... Huh?
They were killing each other.
Yeah. I mean, we can get into the whole ethnocentricity argument, but I'm not going to do that. I don't know where my Dutch ancestors went after the war of federal aggression. I assume they went back to Holland, but I don't know. I know some of them settled in New York and never came out west, but I don't have any white... I have no white man's guilt. But I try to explain that to friends of mine and that are even white folks that are ashamed of being white, you know, and want to blame white people. And they just don't get it. I said it's not racial, it's cultural.
I'm not racist, I have a black president.
Yeah, Lou can't be racist because he has a black president. It's impossible. But I look at cultures, I don't look at skin color anymore. Just like I don't like France. I don't like the socialist way France is run. It has nothing to do with the color of their skin. I don't like the French as a people. That's just the way it goes. But I would much rather have France on a border south of us than what's there now, not because they're brown people, but because they're destroying themselves and us, we're getting dragged into it as well. And I was going to talk about that today a little bit in the next hour, about the Border Patrol killed a 15-year-old boy yesterday. We talked about that. But today, the Mexican police chased off the American investigators that were trying to investigate it at gunpoint. So we had a border incident where federal authorities from Mexico pointed their guns at federal authorities from the United States and chased them off. And there's, you got a lot of buffering. We're not buffering at all. I'm getting no buffering here, Rocky Hill. It's your connection. Let's see. I am not responsible for past aggressions against Native peoples. I have Indian blood anyway. Yeah, Chuck. I know for a fact I don't have any Indian blood, but just about everybody I meet says they have Indian blood. I know Lou's family does. I think your dad was like a big wampum Indian chief somewhere back in West Virginia or something. I don't know. That would explain why in his sleep he goes around going, "Ay-ya, ay-ya." That's how he snores. That's how Lewis snores. There's like a 1950s Indian joke that's not racial, but just stupid. We would just trade one Jesuit-ranked country for another. Well, that's true, too. But at least the French wouldn't be trying to sneak into America because they hate us so much. Yeah, they wouldn't be like, "I want to come to America and not learn your language." It's just funny to me that the Mexican border is the longest unpatrolled border in the world. I mean, really, they say they patrol it, but they don't. We have more control over the Canadian border than we do the Mexican border. But that's where it leaves it at. I did want to talk a little bit in the last couple of minutes here. Nobody's called in, but I'll give out the phone number when we jump over to LibertyTreeRadio.4mg.com. Liberty Tree Radio. They're really pushing Iran, aren't they? More sanctions, more freezing of assets. Hillary going out there and saying, "Oh, there's going to be something big. There's going to be something big." And what I'm going to talk about in the next hour is, where do we get off telling Iran that they can't have a nuke? We let Pakistan have a nuke. We let India have a nuke. We let Israel have as many nukes as they want. And when's the last time Iran invaded somebody? When's the last time Iran did anything? You know, all their state-sponsored terrorism. The terrorists are doing whatever they want. China's a state-sponsored terrorist nation. China is sponsoring more terrorism than Iran or any other Arab country. But yet we're not calling for sanctions against China. Why? Because they can kick our butt in a one-on-one war. We're afraid of them. We don't want a war with China. That would be too decisive, too nasty, too ugly. But we can push around Iran, and you're going to be surprised. I want to hear your calls when we come back after when we make that switch. But I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the border issue and then whatever else you folks want to talk about. So I need call-in. We like it when people participate. I can't believe that I'm just – everything I'm saying is just perfect to your ears. There's got to be something that you want to debate me on or something I forgot, something that needs to be added to.
Your glasses are too pointy.
Yeah, make fun of my glasses. They can't see my glasses today. Just assume I'm wearing funny glasses and make fun of them. Complain about my uncontrollable flatulence when
anyone
I came over your house last week.
Anyone who would wear those glasses?
Who?
Anyone that would wear those glasses that you are wearing right now.
Yeah.
Should be snowing.
No. No, because you're wearing these glasses. You're wearing the same glasses I'm wearing. We got the same kind of glasses. They were cheaper. But that's what we're going to talk about in the next chunk of block there. Let me get back. Where's you broadcast? Let me get back in there. They eat snails anyway. Yeah, yeah. I really dislike France. I dislike England. All these people, especially these people that are racialists that listen to my show, they go, "Oh, you should be proud of your European heritage." I go, "I hate Europe. They dragged us into two wars in the last century that they couldn't get themselves out of. They've always got their hand out to us." And then they go, but your white heritage." I go, "I don't care about my white heritage. I care about my American Christian heritage." You know, Scandinavia, a bunch of socialists. You know, all these people are like, "Oh, I'm Viking." Yeah, well, you're also a socialist. And you guys are bending over for the Muslim invasion. Again. Again, it's going to take somebody to rise up like, what was his name? What was the king that kicked the Moors out? I hate it when names escape my head. We always sing about him. King Alfred. King Alfred rose up and threw them out. You know, you got some good people, in, you know, back, but I'm tired of bailing out Europe. We can't even bail out ourselves, and Europe keeps, you know, look at the UN. Lou is Kimazibo. I don't know what that means. Rocky Hill is using some strange Ubangi language that I don't know what it is. Yeah, I don't know what that is. Is that Yiddish or something? I don't know what that is. But yeah, I'm not going to get all hung up on the fact that my ancestors got thrown out of every country in Europe and be proud of that. That's what happened. The actual line of my family were sent to southern Africa, South Africa, the Dutch down there, and Australia. And then they some of them later came in the 1840s to New York, and they started some printing companies there. Van Nostrand Publishing is one of the biggest. They do medical book stuff. I had nothing to do with that. Why should I take pride in what they did when we were thrown out of Europe because a lot of my ancestors were criminals and stuff, but they were also hardcore Calvinists. Hardcore Calvinists that were thrown out by the catholics. I like that. Huh? Yeah, we don't know what. Maybe he misspelled it. Lou's trying to look up that word that Rocky Hill put in there and see. Kemosabe. Oh, it means wet rag on bush. It's from the Lone Ranger series. Yeah, Kemosabe. I get it. I thought it was a Japanese dish, but if you look up Kemosabe, one of the like Apache names or something for it was like wet rag or something. It was weird. It doesn't mean anything great. I wish Europe would just leave us alone. We could have our own country over here. They wouldn't keep asking us to bail them out. They wouldn't keep asking for money. And they're the ones that chose socialism. They're the ones that started the European Union, and they pretty much voted it in. They did like in the Old Testament. They wanted kings. They wanted to unify, and look what's going on now. And now they're going to drag us down with them, economy wise. Now, if our economy was just based on our GNP and we hadn't thrown out all of our industry, we'd probably still be doing more to bail out Europe. I mean, look at what happened: World War I, World War II. You know, other than the war in the Pacific, we didn't have a dog in that fight. And they manipulated us. They allowed Pearl Harbor to happen, so we would have to honor the treaty, war treaties that were of the day, treaties with no nations, free trade with all. And people say I'm a wacko for saying that. I said that's what the Founding Fathers said. Jefferson, Washington, Franklin, in different ways and in different verbiages, but they said we should not get entangled and what's going on in Europe, because they always have wars. Like every 30 years, they have a devastating war and that's run by the New World Order, that's run by the Papists, that's run by the Rothschilds, by the banks, whichever one you want to pull. They're all working together. Blame whoever you want, but they want to decimate the peasants and squeeze every bit of gold out of the hands of the free people. Well, there are no free people in Europe anymore, and put it into those in control. Even today, you look at the Bilderbergs. It reads like a who's who list of European scum. You know, what's the queen of Holland now? Beatrix? You know, Shell Oil? Nothing has changed over the past 5 centuries. The difference is that most of us are starting to wake up and go, hey, wait a minute, we're not going to play this game again. You can throw your party, but we're not going to show up. Although, I have to say, a lot of Americans, young men and women, raise their hand, take that false oath, and go shed their blood overseas for corporations, and it's sad. They're not listening to the older folks who are saying, hey, don't do like I did. But isn't that typical? Isn't that just the way it goes? Remember at 58 or so, start the music. Get some music going. Oh, wow, I don't hear it in my headphones. Okay, we're going to take a break and for some bumper so that we can jump over to Liberty Tree Radio. Remember, the phone number is 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. Don't call on the break. Call on the air. Share your point of view. We'll be back as soon as we make the switch. The Daily Press, they cultivate stupidity and harvest ignorance. They point a crooked finger and they're unanimous by calling me extremist because I'm down on Zionists. So now I want to sing a new song. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. Now what's so bad about being extreme? If I'm extremely innocent, if I'm extremely keen, if I'm extremely paranoid, it's because of what I've seen. It's written in between the lines of every magazine. The FBI, the CIA are working for the KGB and getting in my way. Because they don't like my politics, they dog me every day. I'm getting tired of telling them the problem is oy vey. The enemy is communism. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble.
want to get the job done.
To know the truth, but all he gets is phony news. His state of mind is captured by the mob's opposing views. His only guarantee is that he's sure to be amused. Some may win, but most will lose. Their lives are only figments of the thoughts they cannot choose. And I doubt you'll ever see me on the 6 o'clock news, exposing lying, thieving, cheating communists. Who made me sing you this song? I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was the Jews who did the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. I want to be an extremist. And I just want to have fun. Cha-cha-cha.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention.
A new world
order. Attention.
Government is an emergency.
Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Patch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, sorry if anybody heard that, but I had to cough right before I went on the air. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live Monday through Friday on DutchJones.tk and also on UBroadcast. Well, same thing, just one's embedded somewhere else. And we're also on Liberty Tree Radio on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays for an hour from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time. If you want to catch the whole 2 hours, it's from 5 to 7. But I appreciate the hour here. I like the fact knowing that my show humbly follows cut-rate. What's the word I'm looking for? I can't remember. I say cut-rate probably sounds bad. Top-rate radio shows. Top-rate information and stuff like that. I'm truly humbled by it, and I enjoy knowing every day that in the second hour I get to do this. In the first hour, I look at it as a warm-up to get my my FM radio voice properly toned to be used in such a way. Well, folks, today is June 9th, 2010. It is about 6:03 Pacific time, as I said. We're coming to you live from the church at Kuia Ranch here in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, Central California. Yes, they do allow rednecks to live in Central California. Not everybody here is a redneck, but most of us are. And we are also right outside the front gates of Sequoia National Park. And we invite you to check out our website, DutchJones.tk. That's J-O-E-N-S. DutchJones.tk. And there you can link to the church at Kuia. Because it's hard to give out there because Kuia is just, people just don't seem to spell it right and they get mad at me. And yeah, if you're interested, just email me at DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com, and I'll give you the link because I want people to discover this church. I want people to see what we're doing here, what they've been doing here since 1963, 64, right in there, what we're doing now, how we are preparing ourselves as militant Christians to defend the people of Christ and to expand that word into all areas, to press the full crown rights of Jesus Christ in everything we do. That's why we're doing radio. We believe every aspect of American life should involve Jesus Christ. And some people don't like that, but there's a turkey out there. And there's a bunch of turkeys outside the window. Real turkeys, not jive turkeys. Actual turkeys. But that's what we do here. Sometimes we just talk about current events. Sometimes we talk about survival issues, New World Order issues, militia issues. I try not to... I mean, who am I? I'm not going to get on here and tell you something that you haven't heard from better men than I, but if I have a certain slant on it, then we will discuss it. And there is a call-in number. This is a discussion show. It's a modern-day campfire. And the area code is 559. It's 561-8225. That's 559-561-8225. We worked the kinks out yesterday. Basically, we just kind of reset everything, and it's sounding really good right now, we're being told. If we could get more sound checks, just some feedback, because we didn't change anything during the break, but we know how Murphy's Law works, and we know about gremlins and ghosts in the machine, so we're trying to make all the settings. I've got my mic turned down real low, and I'm eating it. There is no image going out on U-Broadcast right now, because we think that may be why we're getting dropped, because of our limited bandwidth streaming video or images may have done it. So we're doing this one, and so far so good. You know, praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. We haven't been knocked off yet. And if we are, it's because, you know, something Lou did. Why are you giving... Oh, he's passing me a 30-30 shell. We got to remember to give that to Mike. Give those two rounds to Mike. I know he's 30-30. Well, what did you just do? Something just jumped my volume way up high in my headphones. Wow, what was that? I don't know if my ears popped, but is it still in the green over there?
Yeah.
Okay. Then it's something on the other side. It's not on the transmit feed. It's on the monitor feed. It just got like twice as loud in my headset. Ow. I like to spend at least a couple hours a day looking through the media, trying to connect the dots, as it were. I hate that phrase, but that's probably the best way to describe it. And I'm not talking about the little kid things where you actually connect the dots. I mean, actually read the articles and try and figure out what they're doing. And if you guys remember earlier, I think it was Monday or Friday, Hillary Clinton came out and said that Ahmadinejad from Iran is doing all kinds of wacky stuff. Ed says we're up live. Great. Good. We are working. That she suspects he's going to try to, quote-unquote, pull something. Well, while she's at her little summit of the Americas, down there, I think it was in Peru, she gets announcement that there's going to be heavier sanctions. The UN has put even more sanctions on Iran. Now, this is going to be a touchy subject for some people because everybody says, well, Iran is a terrorist nation and they're doing all this. Well, actually, they're a sovereign nation. They exist rightfully so. They've chosen to have the kind of rule they have. I know there's rioting going on in there. We have rioting in America. But let those people decide their course politically, not us. And the second thing is, all these sanctions they're doing are not going to hurt the government. It's just going to further hurt the people. And the sanctions are directed, anyone who doesn't know this must have been living under a rock for the last 5 years, they want to make nuclear weapons. They say they don't, but let's face it, they want to make nuclear weapons. They're producing a nuclear power, which is funny because they got enough oil and everything else they need. They really don't need an alternative fuel like nuclear, which is a great fuel, and I encourage any country to use it. If I had the ability to make a nuclear reactor, I would make one right outside here and power this entire ranch. But the problem is the waste product that comes off of it, it can be used to weaponize and make, not Twinkies, make nuclear weapons. Lou thinks that Twinkies are, I told him once that it's nuclear waste, that's why they last forever, but he can't let go of that concept. But Big Brother United States is telling them they can't have it. So, well, they're going to use it. The call-in number is 559-561-8225, 559-561-8225. We allow Pakistan to have a nuke. We allow India to have a nuke. We allow China to have nukes. You didn't see us trying to shut them up. And it's just, it's arrogant because the chance, oh, here we go. I wonder who that could be. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, how's that sound? Can you hear us pretty good?
I'm getting you pretty good.
Okay.
Apparently there's a little more buffering than before because I didn't hear myself call in on the...
Well, that's
system.
Weird.
There we go. Now I can hear myself.
I'm listening to it on another internet feed.
Yeah, actually, I was going to say, you know what? They've got oil, but hey, you know, we're pushing for getting off the fossil fuel.
Sure.
So they're exploring nuclear energy. You know, it's cleaner, safer for the environment if you do it right.
Right.
Remember, back when they pushed the nuclear power plants in the U.S., it was going to be free, clean energy.
They're
just doing the same thing we did, man. It's free, clean energy. It's not about those, you know, nuclear weapons.
Right.
That you
and even
get.
If even,
after all, we've just about used up the oil supply of the world. Ignore that bleeding point in the Gulf here in the U.S.
Yeah, no, just let it drain.
There is no oil to be had. We're having an oil shortage crisis.
Yeah.
Forget the fact that there is so much pressure there that it's bleeding up into the Gulf. In fact, that's not the only place where it's doing it right now, but that's the one that's getting all the attention.
We all know that it's all one big cabal and it's all one control factor that they want. I just find it very arrogant of the UN to just tell Iran, okay, everybody else can have nukes, but you. We even let Israel have nukes. And I always say, when's the last time Iran invaded anybody? You know, I mean,
can't recall.
Yeah,
I can't recall Israel invading somebody recently, but they got their asses kicked, so they don't like to talk about it.
Yeah. It's not like they're occupied territory around Iran, is there? I mean, is there some undisputed Kashmir section that I don't know about? Just like between Pakistan and India, but yet they let those folks have nukes.
I can't recall that.
Yeah.
Nothing I can think of.
Yeah.
They do have an impressive military, though. You can go on YouTube and watch their parades.
Yeah.
Especially like their dirt bikes with the high back seat for
sissy bars.
Who uses the platform, the person in front as a platform for their rifle.
Yeah.
You seen
those? Yes, I have.
They look pretty cool. I like those.
Yeah. I've met a lot of Iranians on. You know, I haven't met a lot of. You know, fundamentalist Iranians, because they wouldn't be here in America, you know, willing to talk to some Yankee. But Iran was once a great nation until we went in there and put the Shah in. And, you know,
there's a key word. Who put him in?
The New World Order put him in.
Yeah, I know. But still, it's like it was done under the auspices of the CIA.
Yeah, right.
It's another one of those evil dictators over there like Saddam Hussein who was put into power because of... Oh, that's right. That was the U.S. and
yeah,
the CIA.
Yeah, they destabilized everything, put a torturous Shah in. You know, it's just like, well, we could do whole shows on just what the U.N. is, or what the U.N., what the U.S. has done in the Mideast. In fact, the whole Iran-Iraq war, you know, we took sides on both sides, basically. I have an appointment coming up at the VA. That's interesting. Let's see what that is. Okay, take that. Yeah, she set it up. He's going to pull something, and then they slam him with new freezing of Iran's assets. It's just like they're poking a rabid dog, just hoping it'll do something. They need Iran to be stupid and pull the trigger on some covert act, because what's funny is they just do it themselves anyway, just like the British, you know, have their false flag attacks in Iraq a couple years ago. But why even mess with Iran? Why keep messing with them over and over again? They had an agreement set up that they were going to ship all their material that they could have converted to Turkey. If it's okay for Turkey to have it, why can't Iran have it?
Yeah, well, you know, again, a certain clique of people there in the Middle East doesn't have power over that group, and that's why we're going up against them.
I just pray that they don't spill more American blood. You know, I don't mind if they turn their whole region to glass.
Well, it's preferable to them if they use Americans to Israelis because, hey, you know, that's really, they don't want to get their hands dirty. And, hey, if they can use us for Iran and Afghanistan, well, hey, I don't think they would bat an eye about using some excuse to get us involved with, did I say Iran? I meant Iraq.
Yeah,
that's right, Iraq. Yeah. Another one of those ICE.
Yeah,
over there.
Another neighbor. Yeah, it'd be like, and I brought up the analogy at church one time. I said it would be like Mexico telling us, going to the UN and saying, we need to embargo the U.S., we need to get sanctions against them, because they actually put murderers to death. You know, they're still doing the death penalty when most of the, you know, industrial nations of the world have done away with it. Especially through Central and South America, they don't even have the death penalty. So it's an outside entity telling a sovereign nation what they should and shouldn't do to protect themselves, and then they're asking the whole rest of the world to come in and just buy off on it. I was surprised the Russians and the Chinese are being silent for this one.
Well, the Chinese, I can see why they would be silent. I mean, if a war breaks out there, hey, it's more money for them.
Exactly. I mean, they're probably the ones supplying
the Russians,
centrifuges.
They've made threats about Israel using nukes against Iran. If they do it, they're going to dump on them and so on and so forth. There's a lot of bad history with Israel and other countries in the area.
No way. Everybody loves
it.
The way
they were created.
Yeah, everybody loves the fact that Israel got their land back, you know. I don't understand why the neighbors down there are so mad. It's just
except for the traditional Jewish people who lived in the area, Christians that were living in the area that got moved from their homes.
Every once in a while, I get an email from I think they're called Hasidic Jews, and they're like, Israel should not be, you know, it's not biblical. This is it, you know, and stuff.
Again, it's the powers that be trying to force God's hand, as it were.
Right, right.
You know, yeah. I love that. We just need to go along with the Antichrist. It's okay. Don't worry about it. God will save us in the end.
Yep.
Of course, he knows that we're only helping them, so that way we'll bring him back and we'll all be saved.
Right.
I believe there's also other stuff about people who help, you know.
Yeah, that
Antichrist
aid and
assist. Get along with it. It's like a divorce from God. Isn't that what they say?
It's exactly. It's a divorce.
So, hey, it's biblical. Don't worry about it. We're just kind of trying to force God's hand. It's okay.
Yeah.
We're just going to go along with the Antichrist and have our divorce from God. Nothing bad's going to happen to us, because the Bible says that, doesn't it?
Well, that's what about 90% of the churches, Christian churches in America, are preaching right now. They're saying that, we've got to help this on. We've got to. Not only do we have to light the fuse by bullying the Middle East around, we've got to fan the flame so that it goes a little faster.
Yeah, that's not to say they're not necessarily wrong. This could be, you know, prophecy fulfilling itself. But then take a look at what side of the biblical prophecy you're on if you're helping it go along, guys.
I know. Yeah, they're the ones drilling holes in the bottom of the boat, hoping it'll sink so we all get to go swimming. You know, and they're like, but I'm just helping. I'm just helping the inevitable. I mean, why put it off? I don't understand that.
But like I said, there are points in the Bible that talk about what happened to people who do that. We are to resist evil. We are to resist this wickedness.
Right. We're to continue to occupy.
Like, but God's going to come and save us in the end. We're not supposed to lift our fingers. No, God says the faithful are going to go through some hard times here.
Yeah. Well,
going along to get along is not going to be... The go along to get alongers are not going to be the ones who are going to be, you know... They're going to be facing hard times too, but there's a certain place for them.
Well, the mandate is clear. We're to go forth and push the full crown rights everywhere. We're to occupy this planet that God created for us, to occupy it, spread the gospel to all men, and just keep doing that. Keep defending his people and keep spreading the word. I mean, you know, results are up to God. You know, not us. We don't get to decide. It's like we'll see people that'll send us emails like, oh, what was it now? March 11th, 2011 is now the end of the world. And we'll say, well,
We were just talking about that in the Liberty Tree Radio chat room.
Oh, you're not supposed to pick the day.
I'm still waiting, and I said this. I remember hearing this one, in 1998, the sun is going to burn up, and that's going to be the end of everything. Here it is, it's 2010, right?
Yeah, we're still
waiting. I'm still waiting for that sun to burn up.
Well, I love these guys that put out all these books, and they just keep changing the last chapter in their book of prophecy, changing the date. And you tell them, hey, no man knows the date or time. In fact, you should be stoned for saying it. Well, it doesn't mean I can't guess was when we got the other day. What do you mean you can't guess?
You can guess. Yeah. Right ahead and guess. But that's a guess. It's not fact.
Yeah. But telling everybody to...
Like I said, we were discussing Y2K, too. Oh, Y2K was going to be... That would have been a fabricated event. The only reason why they didn't move through with it is because so many people were ready for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You couldn't talk to anybody, including banks, who saw it as being a possible real threat, who were actually preparing for the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the fire services then.
Too many people took the threat seriously and actually prepared. Now, if people had sat on their hands, the government would have had what they wanted. There would have been nobody ready. There would have been a shortage of food, shortage of whatever, you know, banking problems and all this other fun stuff. But because people didn't want to get caught with their pants down, whether it be local banks or whether it be even banks on a national scale, you know, they took care of the computer program. We did have Y2K failures. That's one thing people don't like to talk about.
Yep.
In fact, the biggest Y2K failures that were reported were by the CIA with their spy satellites.
They could see the patchwork stuff going out?
Well, they could not. It's not... Okay, satellites in floating in space, it's not like, hey, we can just go up, insert a disk, and load the program changes.
They couldn't correct
it. It's kind of hardwired into the older satellites. Yeah. You're not going to just... You can take the pickup truck up, but the pickup truck can only be up there for so long.
Yeah,
and when you've got 50 to 60 satellites that need maintenance, the truck's not up there that much to do the work.
New vacuum tubes. I think what happened during Y2K is that... the churches didn't do as good a job as the New World Order wanted them to, and people reacted. They were hoping everybody would just sit on their hands, like we keep saying. And everyone I knew, like you said, was at least doing something. There was a lot of backlash when nothing happened. A lot of wives told their husbands they were stupid.
Let's see, a couple of big actors who they were doing, what are you going to be for the New Year's celebration?
Yeah.
I'm going to be at home with my family praying that nothing happens on Y2K.
Yep. Yeah.
They were ready. They had their supplies and everything, but they're going to be at home. They're not going to be out partying and waiting to see what happens.
They also,
not the reaction that they wanted from people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
That desensitizes the population, too. If every time one of these dates comes and passes, more and more people stop preparing, I think, unless, you know, there's some giant synergy that takes off or God intervenes. But when the dates fall by the wayside, nothing happens. You lose a percentage.
Prepared, you don't have a crisis.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you got, and you you can create a crisis by having an outside organization come in and try to, you know, deal with a situation.
Inflate it.
When the locals would normally deal with it themselves, Katrina.
Yeah. Yeah.
And watch and see the mayhem that totally happens because the people don't have a clue who is and who's not supposed to be in that area.
Now, working as an instructor for the Federal Emergency Management Agency doing community emergency response training, I became a train-the-trainer. I had to go to their academy in San Diego for a week. And one instructor said something. Here was a firefighter from Los Angeles who kind of got the whole thing going. Big guy, looked kind of like Haas from Bonanza. He said, there's no such thing as a disaster or a catastrophe. He says, the only time that happens is when people create it. He goes, if you're prepared, if you're trained, and you're watching, and you take precautions, there's no reason for anything short of, you know, complete apocalypse that human beings can't handle as a society. He goes, but what happens is people depend too much upon the government. So this guy had a good paradigm.
Well, it's not even that. It's they'll handle it. And they are not necessarily the government that the other people are referring
right.
to. It's like, who's going to fix the government? Oh, they will.
Yeah, they'll do it. Someone else will do it. Yeah.
You know,
let restore the republic.
When you start talking about they in a generalized term, you know, they on the other side aren't going to fix it. So these other group of theys that you're talking about are the people on your side. Who's on your side? I got news. Go take a look in the mirror.
Take an inventory.
If somebody's going to fix it and you think there's something wrong with it, if you're not taking steps to deal with it yourself, it ain't going to get fixed.
Well, it's like the elections around here, you know, especially in California. We're trading, you know, one rhino for another one, and everybody's all excited. Look what we did. We went and voted, and we got Meg Whitman, the former head of eBay. And I go, look at her policy. She's exactly like Schwarzenegger. Do you really think she's going to change anything?
Nope.
And everybody's all excited today, and I'm saying, you didn't do anything. You know, that's not how it's going to change.
Well, at least she doesn't have as good an acting skill.
Yeah, we can catch her in lies a little easier, I hope.
Arnold, though, he was always a little kind of hard to understand with the accent.
Which is funny because we had a guy come around today. He was Austrian, and he does threat assessments for groups like ours, and he came around today, and he had this heavy Austrian accent. And he said something like, well, you should be able to understand me because of Arnold. And I said, he sounds a lot better than you do because this guy's actually... You know, heavy Austrian accent. But
well, Arnold's been in the country for a while.
Yeah.
But remember, Arnold, when he first got in the country and started doing movies, they voiced over his voice because his accent was
What
bad.
Was the one when he was in New York?
I'm understanding what he was saying.
Like Hercules in New York. It was some guy going,
what I was going to mention.
I believe I must take a taxi now. It was hilarious. And then the next time you see him, it's like, hello. You know, he couldn't even speak. But, yeah, a lot of people, you know, I'm not knocking people if they think the ballot box will still fix us and they're moved to vote. Yes, but don't expect me to get all excited.
Like I said, it depends on where you are. And the only way, you know, to take it back on a local level is apply to be a ballot counter.
Yep. Well, that's what we do here. The entire because we live in a small community of only 6,000 people.
If you do not think that you're... And mind you, if they think if you got real corruption in your area, like Chicago and whatnot, oh, they're going to come up with all these reasons as to why you can't.
Every single poll worker here in Three Rivers, Cahuilla, was from the church at Cahuilla. Our pastor was there. The wives were there. So they do that. Because we run on the independent party here because the Constitution Party doesn't have a party here. So we just kept pushing for Nightingale here. You know, we don't believe in the lesser of two evils. We're not going to vote for a governor to go up just because, you know, oh, only a Republican face, you know, Moonbeam who's running, you know, Brown.
Uh-huh.
We voted for the constitutional candidate.
Yeah, see, Ron Paul getting into the White House would have been a good thing. But,
yeah.
You know, just because he changed the head,
yeah.
You know, doesn't mean that
yeah.
the rest of the
that veto power doesn't really mean
him.
When's the last time a veto worked, you know? In the White House. It's just, it's not on key issues. They're going to hold it. I said that. I said, if you think the ballot box and the floor of Congress and the Senate are going to change
anything. Somebody into a position of power like that mm-hmm. is going to trip him up for a bit, at
yeah.
least until, you know, they find a way to wiggle around him.
Yeah.
But again, just getting one person into a position of power is not going to fix
yeah.
the problem that we have.
Now, we act that way because God could miraculously, you know, everybody goes and votes for a Ron Paul type guy. But here, we focus on the county level. Like, we've decided the next time the sheriff election comes up, we're going to run like three or four people. You just knocked into the gun rack.
No, I'm just trying to move this.
Oh, okay.
Off.
Here, help her with that over there. Knocked over a couple rifles. Yeah, it was somebody, when Frank came in, he probably put it against it. So, but yeah, we're just going to have our pastor run for sheriff. Now, he's run for state controller before, and he got like 4% of the vote because people who just looked said, you know, pastor. We can't put like militia leader on there, of course. But what we're going to do is we're going to run for county seats. We're going to run for anything we can. Definitely sheriff. We're very strong on the sheriff
locally.
Position.
I mean,
yeah.
County, township, whatever you got there. I mean, that's a place to start, and then show people what a good job you do there. But do not. And Dad stresses this too. Do not forget where your people came from.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
There are people who will run for politicians, and then they'll get persuaded by other politicians. You know, once they get into a position that you don't need those people anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're with us.
Yeah.
And then when it comes time for the election thing, they've, lack of a better term, pissed in the faces of the people who got them there.
Right.
And then are surprised when the other people who told them they were their buddy don't back them, but backs another ring knocker.
Well, and it's so, the weirdness that's going on. Did you see South Carolina where on the Democratic ticket for senator, this guy who just signed up and paid the minimum fee, never campaigned. He's a military veteran, they said. But he's wanted for going around and showing dirty pictures to college girls. He got on the Democratic ticket, and nobody knew who he was. I mean, he just walked in and said, yeah, I want to run, paid whatever the fee was, and he won because there was no opposition. And the system, it shows, I mean, this guy's probably going to go to jail.
I don't have a problem with a veteran doing
yeah,
it,
but,
you know, but,
yeah, this guy was,
that's true, and, you know, it may or may not be.
Well, that's true too, yeah.
I'll say this, I don't know the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I can see this, if he got on the ticket and nobody else was running, nobody really
yeah.
opposed it, it could be that this is some BS that they've generated, because we have had that happen before, where people have walked in. Nobody else has been running.
Yeah.
They pay everything. They get all the signatures that they need. They get on the ballot, and then they get attacked for some innocuous junk.
Well, in fact,
if they can't find anything, you know, to attack them on, they create stuff.
They're surmising that the federal, the Republicans in the area did that just to cause a problem. They just put it up there to make them look bad because it is South Carolina, and they've had a lot of corruption. In that, where the woman who got it for the Republican side has like three sex scandals and all kinds
of
stuff.
Well, like I said, I don't know enough about the
yeah.
person to say this, but I can't say it. If it's somebody who just walked in, he's a veteran who's fed up. Democrats or Republicans could be looking at this like, oh my God, there's somebody on the ticket. Quick,
right.
We got to do something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Let's get somebody in there and. You never know when those opportunities will open.
I don't know the story. I'd have to do research on
yeah.
it myself.
Yeah, I've just read the one article on AP.
Not, but it wouldn't surprise me if they aren't, because that is the easiest thing to fling out there on somebody, and it's the hardest to disprove.
Yeah, you know.
Whether you're a sex offender or a pornographer or whatever, they throw it out there. It's danger reputation. It's hard to disprove
right.
or, you know, counteract once it's been put out there.
Right. Well, Ed, we're coming up on the break where I get to try and promote our little webpage here. I want to thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. As always, I always enjoy talking to you. And Stacy says hi.
Yeah, I'd like more information on that thing. And
I'll forward it to you. I got the article right in front of me. In fact, I may even talk about it here.
Post it in your chat room.
Yeah, I'll go during the break. I'll do that. I'll see if I can get it back up. Here we go. We'll be right back after this break.
I'll let you go.
Had a different story when they met Kelly's Irish Brigade. When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade. Didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade? They have called us rebels and traitors, but themselves have thrown up that name of late. They were called by the English invaders at home in the year of 98. The name to us is not a new one, though 'tis one that shall never degrade. It is blue-hearted Irishmen in the ranks of Kelly's Irish Brigade. When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade, didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade? Call us invaders, tis but states' rights and liberty we ask. And the Missouri will ever defend her, no matter how hard may be the task. Then let it through Irishmen assemble, let the voice of Missouri be obeyed. And the northern fanatics will tremble when again they meet Kelly's Irish Brigade. When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade, didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade? When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade, didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade?
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, boom. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention!
This is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this.
I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
And we're back with the technically improved Dutch Jones radio program. We've gone through our system and did absolutely nothing different, but it sounds better today. We're coming to you live from the Church of Cahuilla in Central California. During the break, I got a phone call from Sully in Southern California who's looking for militia contacts. He's not in the chat room. He's listening on Liberty Tree Radio. One of the best places to go, and I'll tell you why, is awrm.org. That stands for a well-regulated militia.org. You can go in there, and there's a place for connections where you can pick your state. If you Google California militia, every website is stagnant. They're either gone, not being updated, or gone. It's weird. Now, we have a lot of listeners. There's only one that happens to be in the chat room right now that's from Southern California, but there are some other militia folks down there that I don't see in the chat room, any of them. Most of them are in my area here. But there are militias in Southern California. There's the Colonial Marines. There's the Armenian Militia. I don't know if you have to be Armenian to join. There's the High Desert Militia. Their website they took down after, I can't remember what event it was, but one of the events they just decided not to have a web presence anymore. So there are militias down there. But if you go to AWRM, a well-regulated militia.org, that's how I've reached all the contacts from California. And as you get farther north, there's more, of course, just because of the lifestyle and the region. So I encourage you to go there, sign up there, and look in there. We're about 4.5 hours north of you. You're welcome to come check us out on a Sunday. Come up for the weekend, spend some time with us. But we're probably too far out of your area of operations, especially if you plan to shelter in site, in place. But there are a lot of people in Southern California. I was surprised when I moved there from Colorado just how many there were. And they're kind of underground, given the liberal slant of that entire region. But you can find them. And I encourage you to do that. Also, go ahead and email me at DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. And make sure you spell Jones, J-O-E-N-S. That's DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. And I will forward your information to the three contacts that I have in Southern California from three different groups. We've had only luck with one of the groups as far as them really following up on that. I'm going to tell you that now. Everybody's a little hinky. But if you're trying to start your own, it's a good place to go to AWRM and maybe find some other individual families out there to put it together. So if that's any help to you, Sully, I hope it is. But just email me and I'll see what I can do for you too. Well, we're back. I did go and find that article. Mystery South Carolina nominee has a pending felony, which, they put up. It's Alvin Green has been on the phone all day. That has to be expected for the guy who just won South Carolina's Democratic Senate primary and is facing incumbent Republican Jim DeMint in November. But everyone calling Green has just been trying to find out who the heck he is. And one thing reporters learned Tuesday is that he has a criminal complaint, was sworn out against him last year for allegedly showing obscene photos to South Carolina college students, that'd be adults, and suggesting they go to her dorm. Maybe that's the way they pick people up in Southern Carolina, South Carolina. You just show them a dirty picture and go, "You know what this is? Maybe we can go to your dorm and figure it out." Well, actually, I don't want to make fun of our Southern friends. He's probably from the North and just moved down there. Green, a 32-year-old unemployed military veteran who lives with his parents, defeated Vic Rahl on Tuesday for the Democratic Senate nomination. Now, despite having run essentially no public campaign, no events, no signs, no debates, no website, and no fundraising. Now, this goes to show you. What were we just talking about when Ed was on here? Act locally. You never know when you're going to be that guy who slips in there when everybody just absolutely hates the person you're running against. I mean, he hasn't won the seat, and he probably won't, but if he did, wouldn't that be wacky? You know, and like Ed was saying, we don't know if this is true. You know, maybe he just made some girl mad or whatever. Now, the result has baffled political observers, well, that's good to know, who have heavily favored Rahl, a former state legislator, attorney, and prosecutor, who had the edge in as much as he actually campaigned and tried to win. Another lawyer, another legislator, you know, all that. Another hack was trying to get it. Instead, he probably put on there like Gulf War veteran or something. I don't know what the ballot said, but sometimes if I don't know the issue or the person people running, like for a judge or something, and and I see that, you know, they put something in there in the explanation of who they are, if it says, you know, Baptist minister, and I know I don't like the other guy, I may do that. I haven't, you know, I don't, I've told you guys what my view on voting is. Now, many in South Carolina, which has grandly lived up to its reputation as a political circus this year, suspect that somewhere a crafty GOP, G-O-P, I love saying GOP, political operative is occurring. So they're accusing the Republicans of just getting this guy to run. I don't know how smart he is, but I have a feeling we're going to hear a lot from him here in the next few weeks. As far as the local politics press can discern, the only positive step Green took toward campaigning was when he plunked down a $10,400 check in March to satisfy the state's filing fee and get on the ballot. I mean, that's a lot of money for an unemployed guy living in his mom's basement. So maybe there is some shenanigans. Do you want to call shenanigans on this, Stace?
Shenanigans.
She's calling shenanigans. let's see, where are we here? He never registered a campaign committee with the Federal Elections Commission or filed a financial disclosure with the Senate Ethics Committee. So why did he run? And how did he win? He says, I campaigned, Green, who spoke rapidly and seemed distracted, as he told Yahoo News in a brief interview. It was a low-budget campaign. I funded it 100% out of my pocket and kept it simple. It was old-fashioned. Asked what precisely the campaign consisted of and how much he spent on it, Green murmured, not much. I had friends helping me. It's kind of like if Lewis ran for president. This is what it would sound like. I don't know. I'm not sure. I got elected. He said he hasn't yet reached the $5,000 spending limit that trigger a requirement to file the Federal Elections Committee's, you know, we have to say where your money comes from. Despite having spent that $10,400 filing fee, a pretty penny for someone with no job, like any good politician, Green tried to deflect questions about the particulars of his campaign to talk of issues. I graduated from the University of South Carolina, he said. We have more unemployment than any other time in South Carolina history. Hold on, I have another beep. That's not what he said, not me. Shortly after his Yahoo News interview, the Associated Press reported that Green was arrested in November on the obscene photo complaint. Charges are pending, and he hasn't entered a plea. He could, of course, note that such charges would necessarily hurt a candidate in Palmetto. I don't think so. It's not going to hurt them when they've got all kinds of other sexual problems going on with the election down there. If you guys have been following it, you know what I'm talking about. Now, Green's candidacy, I might describe him, he's a rather large African-American male, by the way, too. Green's candidacy has raised suspicion that he may have been induced to run by Republican operatives in order to sow dissension in the Democratic ranks. It's not uncommon in South Carolina for Republicans to recruit African-American challengers to run against white frontrunners in Democratic primaries in the hope of drumming up racial tensions. Now, Green, being black, like I said, African-American. Yahoo said black. They're the racists, not me. The straw candidates aren't supposed to win. They're just supposed to create a racially divisive primary to damage the candidate's ability to put together a coalition in the general election. It's nothing new to New Wexler, that's N.U. Wexler, the former executive director of the South Carolina Democrat Party. In 2004, on the last day you could file to run in the primary, we were wrapping things up when an SUV with Bush Cheney stickers on it dropped off three black guys who came in to file to run some local races. As they all paid the filing fee and sequentially numbered cashier's checks from a local credit union, he said, that's funny. In 1990, famed South Carolina political consultant Rod Sheely was convicted of violating campaign laws after recruiting a black candidate to run in a GOP primary for lieutenant governor in the hope of drawing out racist voters. Well, that's the way they do it in Southern Carolina. If that's, you know, South Carolina, if that's what they do, that's what they do. A couple comments in the rumor saying they're, you know, the porn thing, who knows? I mean, is it really bad that, you know, I don't know, he showed porn to an adult? He should get slapped for it. Yeah, it wasn't a problem until he won, Ed says in there. But that just shows how frail our system is. I mean, I don't even have to get into the electronic voting systems that are hacked. Just the system itself. I remember when B1 Bob Dornan down in San Diego area ran, and like 52 dead Mexicans voted for him, or for his opponent, excuse me. 52 dead people voted for his opponent. A bunch of illegal aliens voted for her too, Sanchez. And he basically just walked away from that. He kept challenging it, but they wanted her to win, and they wanted that ultra-conservative right-wing guy out of there. Because I don't know a whole lot about him. Some people say he was nuts, but what I used to hear on the local radio shows from him, I liked. He was talking about shutting down the borders and all that stuff. So if they want to get rid of you, they're going to get rid of you. It doesn't matter if it's Democrat or Republican. It's not really a side thing. It's a system thing. It's a systemic sickness that runs in our election systems today. The whole voting system. Like I said, you're not going to change it by ballot. You know, we were talking, if Ron Paul got in the White House, I honestly believe he probably would have been killed or made impotent by just overruling votes of the Congress and the Senate, of the House and the Senate. That's why I keep saying it's time to just, you know, strip it down to its basics and start over again. I mean, all branches, all three branches are so decayed and so rotten and so corrupt. That's why we act locally. If we act locally, we can tell the federal government to go take a hike. You have no authority here. We're, you know, here's our sheriff, here's our board of directors for our county, whatever you want to call them, county supervisors. And just ignore them up there. Because look what they're doing. They're manipulating the system. The people who manipulated South Carolina politics probably aren't even from South Carolina. Outside people coming in to mess with this. And maybe he's a legitimate candidate. Maybe he's a patriot. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, here we go. Let's see if this will work. Hello, you're on live.
Hey, Doug.
Who's there?
This is Chuck.
Oh, man, your phone's doing that breakup thing again, but we'll try. Go ahead and say what you got to say.
Okay, hang on. Let me turn you up.
Hello.
Okay. So it's not going so good, huh?
I would say not, but things are, you know, hopefully things will get better.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, you know, I want to tell you, you know, why some, just a little bit off subject, I want to get, and we'll, I'll talk to you a little bit about China.
Okay.
The Panama Canal in a minute. But I bought some, I went and bought some walkie-talkies, you know, those FRS ones you said?
Yes.
I bought, one pair that's a, like 3 milers, you know, real small, simple jobs. Or
and they have their role.
About them. And then I bought, I ran across, now I got these out of a pawn shop. I found another pair of Steel Vox. I don't know how good they are, but I found them in a pawn shop. Those are 15 milers.
Yeah, and you would just, you know, you use the low power ones for, you know, where you don't want everybody being able to hear you. So that's good to do that. Some of them have high and low power settings, but if you have two sets that are dedicated, that's there's nothing wrong with that. Redundancy is a good thing.
Yeah, I think the audio ones are low and high.
Yeah.
I think I downloaded the manual. I haven't went over it yet, and we took them camping. We went camping.
I envy you.
4 weekends, and I tried to use them a little bit. We were up in we have the Ozark Mountains down here, or actually Wichita Mountains are part of the Ozarks over across by Arkansas.
Right.
I mean, they're not mountains like you guys, but
yeah. Still fun to hunt.
It's still key terrain around there. So, and these have the mic set on to put the headset on it.
Right, for Vox.
On the auto Vox plus the scanner on it.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good.
See what the other channels are doing.
Huh?
You do that to see what the other channels are doing. You can scan the other channels on there. You can set up a primary channel that it defaults to when you hit the transmit button, but you can scan all the others. That way, if you're operating different groups in the field like we did on the border, that's the scan comes in handy there to have someone dedicated just to listen to the scanning.
Oh, okay. I just, when it said scanner on there, I was thinking it was like listening to...
Oh, no. No, it does your FRS and probably FRS and what's the other one? Government? GMRS, the higher power
GMRS.
Frequencies. Yeah.
So that's a little bit different system then?
Yeah, they'll work with any other FRS, GMRS radio as long as the settings are all the same because you have PL tones and some of the nicer ones have encryption on them and stuff. But the ones you have probably have PL tones, so you could have like 5 people on the same frequency, but they won't be able to hear each other because they've set subaudible tones that filter out the other users. So they're a lot of fun to use. Study that manual. You'll be surprised at what they're capable of.
Okay, I'll do that. Yeah, I was really surprised, you know, in the pawn shops again. I started finding a few things in there.
People are hurting. They're getting rid of their gear.
You know, I emailed you some time ago. You know, I don't know if you had a chance to read my, since you're busy these with the emails. I got narrow feet, and it's hard to, you know, I was in the military.
Uh-huh.
I wore 9 wide or 9.5, something like that. Not wide, but...
Narrow?
Medium,
okay.
I guess. And, well, they fit, I mean, they're just wide on my feet. That's the only way I could get them to even kind of fit my feet. But, you know, the arch wouldn't be up in my ball, the ball on my foot like it's supposed to.
Right.
Those have problems, I have because of flat feet. And I'm looking and looking and looking for stuff, trying to find something to fit my feet for, you know, for military-style operations or even just to be able to hike.
Yeah.
I finally come across some new ones. I had to pay a bit for them. I had the New Balance store here in the city ordered them. I got them in and they fit.
Well, that's going to be a problem for you in a post-economic collapse, finding the right kind of boots then, huh?
It is. Yeah. Because if you're out field or you're on the road somewhere and your boots get tore up or they get wore out, or if you're running across enemies and you're trying to collect that are, supplies, that's going to be a big problem.
Yeah. Yeah, each of us has our burden.
I'm not able to strip anybody else off or secure some boots like that. So.
Well, the good news is if there's not a lot of people that those boots will fit, when somebody does find them, they'll cast them aside for you. Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, now these hiking boots are—they're really good. Now I need to try to get another pair.
Yeah, stash as many as you can.
Down the road here, got some. Have you ever heard of Oville?
Say that again.
Or Bates?
Yeah, I've heard of them. I've never owned any of them.
Okay, well I didn't know if these how good they were. I bought some Belleville off of eBay. They're narrow, but they have inserts. They're Gore-Tex, and they have inserts in. Well, the hiking boots are Gore-Tex, too.
Oh, that's nice.
But they have, this has an insert that I can use for feet in the wintertime.
Yeah. Yes.
They fit real well.
Boots, for me, are an issue, too. Depending on who manufactures them, I'm anywhere from a 9 to a 10, and then the 9.5, and I hate it. If I find a good pair of boots, you know, I buy, like, you know, as many as I can in that thing. But I'm hard on them because I'm so heavy. I wear them out fast. So, yeah, you're right.
All right.
That's why when I heard, I think it was last year sometime, on the intelligence report, they were saying get cobbler tools, not to make the dessert, but to make shoes. People forget that those guys were called cobblers, and we're trying to find some up here. We're asking people to, like, volunteer to go work for free at some place so they can learn the skill and then find out what kind of equipment we got to get, because shoes are going to be a huge issue in a post-collapse economy.
Yep. Yeah, I know. I've been thinking about that kind of stuff myself. And the thing is, you can find boots now that are the, what do they call that, the stitch-down variety. Danner makes them.
Nice.
They have narrow, too, but I don't know how well they would fit. And they're the suspended on those things.
Yeah.
I paid $150 on the hiking boots.
Wow. Yeah, see, that's a hardship.
The ones I looked at for Vortex and got the insulate in it. Like $289 or something like
that
for me.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever spent more than $100 on a pair of boots, and that was when I was in the Army.
And so you can take the stitches out of it and put another sole on there as long as you got needle or whatever.
Somebody knows how to do it.
Thread, be able to stitch another sole on there.
Yeah, that's a rarity, though. I've said, you know, somebody, I'll see they have a good pair of boots, uppers, the soles worn out. I'm like, go get them resoled. And they go, they still do that? I go, yeah. You got to hunt around, get the phone book out, but it's worth it. You know, I had a pair of boots resold when I was with the fire service, and it was like $35, and they were like a $100, $150 pair of boots that were issued to me. But I was like, just turn them in, get a new pair. I'm like, why? Just get a new sole.
Yeah, well, you got them in whenever you get a new pair of boots.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, not a pair of boots is the same.
Yeah.
Once
yeah,
you get it broken in, it's like a glove. So
I like these boots. I don't.
And that's what I do. I buy cowboy boots. That's the only thing I can find that really, this one certain brand handmade.
Sure.
That are stitched, and they're handmade, and they make narrows. And because mine in the boots in these will run double A. I could wear A's have thick socks, but, you know, I mean, it's the thing I run across, but that's where I learned to stitch that. So then I got a guy here local, carries those boots, and I ran across, he had another guy that came in that resold them. But they got, it's one down here in Packington that will do that.
Okay.
I just have my boots resold.
Well, we're getting short on time here. We got about 6 minutes till the top of the hour. Did you said you wanted to say something about China too?
Yeah, I was going to say. Oh, there's a Ed probably knows because him and Mark were talking this earlier, and this guy named Schaefer. So mention him quick. I don't know if you heard of this guy.
Okay. No.
He's on YouTube and he talks about sovereignty and sovereign issues or something like that. He's got a little seminar that he does. He's pretty good. Anyway, he's a commander up in Alaska, in Fairbanks, Alaska, and he has he commands like 3,000 different militias. He's got a group of militia guys up there.
Okay.
And he's I guess I'm saying today, or somebody in on the show was saying that he's gotten himself into some trouble. I don't know.
Okay. I'll look out for that. I didn't know anything about that.
I had trouble verifying how recent this information was.
Yeah, I don't. That's new to me.
The DPS had come after him.
Oh.
When his children are homeschooled.
Yeah, see, we run that risk.
Or one of the offices up there in the government. Well, they started coming after him, I guess.
Okay.
So I thought I'd throw it out there, you know. I listened to John Eric Phelps.
Sure.
And he was talking about, I've heard him say this before, that the Chinese are rebuilding the Panama Canal.
Yes, they're widening it.
They're due to be done in 2015.
Right.
So his thoughts were that the whole thing has to do with the superhighway as well. That superhighway, if they continued, I heard that they had stopped building. I don't know if they're still doing anything in Mexico or not, but. The one thing is inside the Mexicans, getting us to invade Mexico, and then the Chinese getting involved in the dumb thing, and if that super way ever gets, you know, then that would just add to them shipping their troops up there.
Sure. Well, that sounds good.
And he was talking about them doing that along the southeastern
seaboard
coast, and southern coast. And using it as a launching pad. So
anything's possible in the global climate we have today. Well, I'm going to let you go. I don't know what it is about your cell phone, but it just keeps cutting out, getting all digital.
Oh, it's that Magic Jack.
Yeah. Oh, Magic Jack. Okay, I don't know if you had a cell phone.
Well, I bought a cordless phone on using the Magic Jack.
It's like when you maintain a good volume level.
Phone.
See, like right now it sounded fine. But, well, we'll talk to you later. Thanks always. And keep sending the emails. I do get to them eventually. I have insomnia all the time, so that's what I do. I stay up and read my emails.
All right.
So thanks, Chuck. Appreciate the call. Well, we're winding down here. We got about 3 minutes before the switch over. We're going to run right out of here. So as long as... Yeah, as long as it takes Lou... Why would you ask me that? Because I tell you to do it every time. We got to do a couple things. We're going to run out, so I won't be able to answer the phone. That topic, Mexico, I say it a lot of times, and I'm dead serious. They should send the UN in. They need peacekeepers in Mexico. personally, I don't want UN peacekeepers that far or that close to me, but why not? Why not? I mean, it's a civil war going on down there. There's beheadings, there's tortures, there's massive corruption. Why does it only apply to European and African nations? How come the UN... I can't think of... And correct me if I'm wrong, listeners... the UN's never even been in this hemisphere, other than training here, of course, and you know their main office. But I can't come up with a time when, at least in my time of service, I ever saw any blue beanies in Central America. What's different? What's the line of demarcation there? I mean, is that one place where we still say no, you can't go? You know, speak softly, carry a big stick. Teddy Roosevelt's philosophy still applies. We'll take care of this hemisphere. You stay out. But yeah, China does, they leased the Panama Canal, the debacle, when Carter released our control over it. He said it wasn't suitable for moving warships anymore, and we have two different fleets. We have the Pacific Fleet and the Atlantic Fleet, whatever. But it still was a key strategic asset, and yes, the Chinese did move in and started to take it over, and they're starting to widen it. Well, as we wind down here, Folks, I want to thank you for calling. I want to thank you for participating. Make sure that you visit the site, dutchjones.tk. There's a pitch in there. Make a donation. We need to ship some money over to Liberty Tree Radio here pretty soon. If you want to just donate it straight to Liberty Tree Radio in our name, that's fine. Just say it's for Dutch Jones bandwidth fees. That would be good, too. Remember, as I always say, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but the victory belongs to the Lord. It's not just a phrase. It's not just a tattoo on my arm. It actually means something, that we are just soldiers. He is our general, and we must never forget that. And everything that we do must be Coram Deo. That's the face of God. And just like the South, Deo Vindicie, the Lord will vindicate, not us. We'll be back tomorrow with more Dutch Jones radio program, Cavalcade of Fun. There's still love.